Well, this morning we continue on with a series of sermons on the Ten Commandments prepared by the Reverend Andrew de Vries of the Reformed Church of Bishopdale. So let's turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and we'll read the first 12 verses. You'll find that on page 61 of the Pew Bible. So Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And it's verse 12, that's our text. I'll read it again. Honour your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Reverend de Vries entitled the sermon, Honour and Obey. I think it's fair to say that as we come to this fifth commandment about children honouring their parents, that many of you parents have been looking forward to this one. Parents may be thinking, preach it, brother, my kids need to hear this. And your parents may have even thought that we should get the children to sit up here in the front, right at the front here, so they won't miss a word. See, we've got some here, well, not young people. So you wouldn't miss a thing, but hopefully you realise that this commandment is applicable to all of us, because all of us have or have had parents. And furthermore, this commandment is not just about honouring parents. It's about honouring all the authority structures that God has put in our lives. This is about honouring your teachers, about honouring the police, our elected government officials, elders and deacons. While this command is very broad, today the focus is quite narrow. We will just be looking at the authority structures in the family. By way of revision, most of you will know that the commandments fall into two different sections. The first four are about our relationship with the Lord and how we honour the Lord in their keeping. And we do this by worshipping him alone, by worshipping him correctly, by honouring his name, and by enjoying the rest he blesses us with. The next six commands are about our relationship with other people. And these speak about our duties towards others. And notice in particular that as God speaks about our duties towards others, other people, notice in particular, where does he start with us? Now, does God start with our duty toward the destitute or the poor? Or does he start with our duty toward refugees or the homeless? Does he want to speak to us about our duty toward orphans? Where does he start? He starts at home with the family. And so, congregation, here is our first and fundamental responsibility. Our duty to our parents. We know the summary of the commands. We are to love the Lord God with all our heart, and we are to love others. And the first people we are called to love with all our heart are our parents. So firstly, in the fifth commandment, we see a command with a pattern. The command shows us the structure that God has set up in the home. It presupposes that parents have authority over their children, and because of this, parents ought to be honoured. Now, as you all know, this is contrary to the popular model of secular parenting, where children seem to have authority over their parents. Rather, children are to be guided by, to be disciplined by, to be instructed by, to listen to the parents the Lord has put over them. In fact, we could say that parents have a godlike role. As God exercises authority over all his children, so too do parents exercise authority over their children. And this is the authority structure that God has built into the world. This is where we all had our first taste of submitting to authority, and where we learned to respond to authority in either sinful ways or godly ways. Now let's be clear, parents are not little dictatorial gods and shouldn't pretend to be that. Parents, your authority over your children is bounded by God's word, and you need to take care not to exceed the limits of your authority. What do we mean by this? Well, I mean that you don't have ultimate control over the lives of your children for all time. You don't retain control over the life of a child, even when they are married and out of the home. You are not there to micromanage every detail of their lives. And it's not appropriate to live vicariously through your child, wanting to make them a replica copy of you, and for you as a parent to glow in the reflection of your children. I was good at football, so you are going to be part of the football team, like it or not. I love music, so you are going to be good at music, like it or not. No, you don't set yourself up in the place of God as the one who has the right to dictate the course of every detail of their life. God alone does that. Yes, you guide them. You guide them because as parents, you obviously know them the best. And God has given you that authority. Now, parents, if there is a God-like pattern in your authority, we better make sure that we exercise authority in a manner which is consistent with God's character. So parents, do you exercise your authority in a God-like way? Am I kind? Am I tender? Am I patient like God? Or is your authority an overbearing authority where you issue rules, but you don't really get to know the little ones under your care? Or a convenience authority, where you just check out of the parenting business by taking the path of least resistance and you let the kids have their own way? Or an absentee authority, where you stay at work so late that you don't get to be involved in the detail of family life? Or a cruel authority, where you shame or guilt your children into doing what you want? And we just have to think for a moment, don't we? How does Jesus define authority? He defines it as servanthood. It's not about calling all the shots and always imposing your way. Authority in the Bible is about laying down one's life for the spiritual and physical well-being of those under one's authority. It's about foot washing. It's about leading as a kind shepherd. And so that should be our pattern. We need to take particular note here that our relationships with other people cannot be divorced from our relationship with God. Some will say, things are all good between me and God. yet they are treating someone in their family with disdain, or they may even be angry with someone at church. But your relationship with God can't be divorced with your relationship with people. Remember how the Apostle John puts it, it is impossible to love God and hate your neighbour. And it's the same here with this commandment. It's impossible to love God and live a life that consistently and persistently dishonours your parents. If you love God, you honour the things that he values. And he values parents. He's put them in authority. Children, teenagers, if you can't say a nice word to your parents, if they ask you how your day was, and all you give your parents is a grunt, if you despise your parents with your heart, then you don't have a breach in your relationship with your parents. You have a problem in your relationship with God. So when Jesus, our Saviour, is loved and adored, what happens? When he is treasured in our hearts, what happens? Bitterness and resentment begin to be dealt with. Then we move towards our parents instead of away from them. We love them because we know God's love to us in Christ. And then we reflect that Christ-like love to our parents. And like Jesus, we forgive them when they make mistakes. And parents reflect Christ-like love to their children and forgive them when they make mistakes. So that is the pattern of this command. Now let us consider the performance of this command. Reverend DeVries is trying alliteration. There's a pattern performance, but essentially what does it mean? What does it mean to honour your father and your mother? Just notice the M word here for a moment. The M word is mother. This command includes both parents. Sometimes the Bible is accused of being a sexist book. Not at all. Here, for instance, we see the Bible leading the way in recognizing the inherent authority of both parents. Honor your father and your mother. That was something unique in both the law of Israel and in the New Testament teaching. Children, note, both dad and mum need to be honoured. But what does honouring mean? Well, the Hebrew word honour literally means something that is weighty or heavy or of great value and worth. The idea here is that the child must not think of his or her parents lightly. Parents must be regarded with seriousness, and that their opinions and instructions and teachings are of heavy value. Children, young people, this means that the opinion of your peers shouldn't be the thing that matters the most to you. It should be the opinion of your mum and dad that matters most. It's like when you're thinking of wearing something that just might be a little bit appropriate, instead of thinking, well, what would mum and dad know about anything? You ask your parents, well, what do you think of what I'm wearing? Is it appropriate? And it's like when your parents set be home by the curfew of 12 p.m. and your mates tell you that's ridiculous, you should be allowed to be home much later than that, allow mum and dad's rule to have due weight or authority. And when everyone is having a whinge about their mum and dad and how they don't let them do this or go there and won't let them have a smartphone and whatever else it may be that you're all whinging about, what does it mean to honour your parents? Well, it's something like this. I don't always agree with my parents, but they are trying before the Lord to do what's best for me, and I honour their opinions. So children, I hope you're listening. You want to be a radical Christian? Here is the easiest way in all the world to do it. Honour and respect your mother and father. But the performance of this command is more than just respecting the opinions of your parents. This command is also about obedience to your parents. It's about doing what they ask you to do. Children, your parents should not have to ask you 6 times and plead and negotiate and bribe you to do what they ask. That's dishonoring your parents, and it's dishonoring God. Children, Here's a really easy way to apply the sermon when you get home. And listen carefully, because I think you can all do this. It's a really simple application. When Mum asks you to clean up the lunch dishes, here is what you can do. It's really simple. You say, "Yes, Mum, I'll do it right away." And when Dad asks you to pack up your toys away from the lounge room, you say, "Sure, Dad, I'm happy to do that now, right away." And then one of the greatest ways we can honour our parents is to also thank them. Parents gladly have to make so many sacrifices of time and money and energy. Children, you usually don't actually get that until you become a parent yourself. But let's take the focus off the children. I'm wondering about adults here. Whether you have ever thanked your parents as an adult for all the sacrifices they have made for you. What a wonderful way to honour your parents. And when our parents become elderly, how do we show this thankfulness? You may remember that story where Jesus rebukes those people who are giving money to the church, calling it Corban, devoted to God, and by doing this they thought they could skip out of looking after their parents. Read Mark 7, 9-13. Jesus clearly teaches that there is a continuing responsibility to look after parents. And the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:8 that if anyone does not provide for his relatives, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Clearly, the Bible expects that adult children will honour their aging parents by taking care of them. So we've looked at the pattern and the performance of this commandment. Then thirdly, the pitfalls of this commandment. The pitfalls. Now there's at least two dangers we have got to be aware of with this command. Two pitfalls in particular we need to avoid. Firstly, we've got to avoid the excuse for not obeying this command. And you'll know the excuse, don't you? I tell you, you've got to honour your parents. And you say, "You don't know my parents. They are terrible parents. They were selfish, they treated me poorly, they went on holidays and left me at home. Are you telling me I need to honour them? You've got to be kidding." Well, I'm not telling you this. God is telling you this. The command is not honour your parents if they were good, honour your parents if they were the parents that you wanted, or honour your parents if they meet your standards of being a good parent. The commandment simply is honour your father and your mother. Be aware, though, that honouring does not mean approving of sinful behaviour. If there is a problem with sinful behaviour of parents, it does need to be identified and addressed. Now, I don't think I'm alone in saying that this is a command I had a great struggle with when I was growing up. And part of the reason why was that I had an issue with forgiveness. I struggled to forgive the shortcomings and faults that I saw. And we all know that our parents' shortcomings and faults are so clear when we live in the same house with them, when we see their inconsistencies and when we see their pet sins. And it's so hard to honour them when you hold these things against your parents. That is why forgiveness is so important. If you hold on to the things that your parents got wrong, you will grow up to be a very bitter person. Perhaps you are an adult and this perfectly describes you. You are bitter at your parents and you blame them for all that is wrong in your life. Well, then you've got to go back to the gospel of our Lord Jesus again, because it is there in the cross of Christ that we see and discover that we have been forgiven of all our sins, for our inconsistencies, for our pet sins. And if we've been forgiven that much, we need to learn to forgive our parents. But perhaps today is the day that you get to finally resolve to forgive your parents. So that's pitfall number one, avoid the excuse. Pitfall number two is that parents need to avoid exasperating their children. In the New Testament, fathers in particular are told to do not exasperate your children, Ephesians 6:4. Don't infuriate them and irritate them in the way you parent, so that it nearly makes it impossible for them to honour you. Now, how might you do this? Are there many ways we can exasperate our children? Just not being there is one of them. Not telling them we love them is another. Focusing on rules rather than relationship is another. Treating your 13-year-old as if they were still 4 years old and not recognising that with increasing age comes increasing levels of autonomy. But one key way to exasperate your children is to make your love for them conditional on their performance. It's to make your love for them conditional on their performance. So if Emma uses her manners, if she does what she's told, if she's cute, a cute child, then you love her and speak kindly to her. But if she's disobedient and rude, then you withdraw your affection from her. Maybe you give her the silent treatment for a while. Maybe you praise her brothers and sisters to make her feel bad about herself in comparison. Parents, I think you know what I'm talking about. This is a sure way to exasperate your children. And even more importantly, and this is really important, do this and you help them learn a works-based righteousness. You help them learn a works-based righteousness. That you earn the love of another and you stay in the love of another by your performance. And that is completely contrary to the way that God loves. God does not love us because we are good. He loved us when we were unrighteous. He loved us when we were ungodly. And then He sent Jesus to die for us. And he doesn't withdraw his love for us when we are not living good Christian lives, when we stumble into sin, or when faith is not strong, or when we struggle to be a good witness at work. God doesn't withdraw his love. O blessed God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, his love and faithfulness never leaves us, even when we fail him. And that's the kind of love that warms our hearts and souls. It doesn't mean our Father doesn't discipline us at times, but even that is in love and not in anger. It's not in frustration and it's not in irritation. God's love for us does not go up and down depending on our performance. Praise and thank him for that. And it's to be the same with us as parents. Our children don't suddenly become unworthy of our love if they make a tip of their room or if they dent the car. They stay out late when they've been told to be home on time, or even if they renounce the faith and become hardened atheists. We don't withdraw our love. We are to love them all the same. Parents, avoid the pitfall of exasperating your children. So we've looked at pattern, performance, and pitfalls. Finally, let's look at the promise in this command. Why should children respect their parents? Well, there are many different reasons we can give for this. God said so. That's a pretty good reason. But not only did he say so, we're told in the parallel passage to Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3 that obeying parents pleases the Lord. Children, young people, you want to bring pleasure to the heart of God? You can do that by honouring mum and dad. And then there's also the promise from our text, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. Remember, the Israelites are on their way home, are on their way to the promised land. That's the place flowing with milk and honey, and that's the inheritance God had promised to his people, and that's the land of blessing. So what this command is promising is that obedience is the pathway to blessing. You actually get the same command repeated in the New Testament with the same promise which we read in Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. So this is the same promise. God says, honour your parents and I promise you that I will bless you. Now again, this of course doesn't mean that life will always go smoothly if you obey the fifth commandment, that you'll never run into any difficulties and that you'll live to be 100 years old. No, this is about obedience being the pathway to blessing. Think all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Remember what the lie of the devil was in the garden. It was that disobedience was the pattern to blessing. And young people, children, adults, it's the same song he plays today. The devil whispers, don't let your parents restrict you. Don't let your parents tell you that you're too young for a romantic relationship. Don't let your parents try and shape your character. They want to make life hard for you. And here comes a gracious God and says, no, 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 dear children. It's in obedience that you find blessing. the blessing of a clear conscience, the blessing of living at peace with others, the blessing of being able to forgive, the blessing of growing in maturity rather than be stunted because of your bitterness, the blessing of being able to enjoy God because you're living out the way he's made you to be. There's blessing in obedience. Now we need to be very clear that this is not saying that you earn the blessing of God by your obedience. That's not what the Israelites did. Remember, these people were already saved, already delivered out of Egypt, already redeemed. They had already been blessed by God with salvation, and then this command. This is a little addition to the command to help them to obey. And it shows us the kind of God we have. The God who delights to bless his people in grace. We ought to obey our parents because it is what God calls us to do as our Christian duty. But God rewards us for our obedience to this important command. God delights to bless his children because he is a God of infinite grace to us. Congregation, honour your father and mother because that's the pathway to a life of true blessing. Amen. In response, we'll take up our forms and confession book. Now, you'll find one of these, hopefully, in the seat in front of you, a forms and confession book. And we'll turn to page 47. Find some glasses. And page 47, we've got Lord's Day 39. Question and answer 104, what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? So that's on page 47. So take a moment to read that. So let's now stand, and I'll ask the question, and let's recite the answer together. What is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honour, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. That I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me. And also that I be patient with their failings, for through them God chooses to rule us. Let's turn to selection 519 and respond in song. Sing all verses. Our deacon will collect our tithes and offerings. And there's one offering for the work of the church. And please remain seated after the offering. So please remain seated for prayer after the offering. Thank you. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your love and care each day, for our lives, for our health and our food, for our homes and for our employment, and for the land of beauty and bounty that we enjoy. Lord, we confess that we often hold too lightly to the things of this world, and we ask for your forgiveness for this. May the giving of our tithes and offerings be cheerful and deliberate and generous, and most of all symbolic of the generosity to us, of your generosity to us. Lord, there are some here today that will be feeling the economic challenges of the COVID virus pandemic. Lord, may their trust be in you, and may the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray to you be answered for them each day, to give us this day our daily bread. Lord, we thank you for our deacons. We thank you that these men have servant hearts and they have open eyes to see the needs within the congregation. Lord, we do pray that you would bless them in their work of mercy and compassion and a willingness to associate with the lowly. Lord, we thank you for your word to us this morning and the challenge to honour our parents. Lord, help us. To just as we honour you as our Father in heaven with respect and obedience, help us to show this to our earthly parents. May our relationship with you be a model of our relationship with our parents. So, Lord, be with the parents here this morning of young children and teenagers in particular. The pressures to conform to the pattern of the secular world around them, the pressures are very great. So we do ask that each parent here will be able to model their parenting on the way that Christ served. May their love for their children be unconditional, as yours is for us. And may the children see in their parents the same graciousness that you have shown to them in Christ. Christ obeyed his Father and went to the cross to suffer and die for us. He was obedient to his Father's will and honoured him. Help us to follow his example in our obedience to our parents. Lord, we pray this morning in particular for the mothers in our congregation who are carrying new life. May your nearness and protection surround both mother and child. Lord, we know that at times you can take a little one home to yourself before they enter the world. We thank you for the comfort and assurance of your promises, even in such trying circumstances. Lord, we're very grateful for your ongoing provision as a church, and in particular, we have been blessed by the preaching and pastoral work of Pastor Dirk. Bless and refresh him, we ask, as he takes 5 weeks of furlough. And Lord, we look forward to him returning to us soon. Lord, we pray for the church throughout this world. There is much oppression There's much persecution, and added to that, the challenges of the COVID virus. We pray that in their trials and in their responses to persecution, that the way that they do this would win others for Christ. And Lord, we ask that you would bless the work of those who bring spiritual and physical relief to persecuted brothers and sisters. And may we be supportive in the way we pray and in the way we give financially. We remember in prayer this morning our sister Marlene Van Tonda and the restrictions and frustrations that she is facing with her work for the Africa Inland Mission due to the COVID pandemic. Lord, we pray that you would open a way for her to either